personal foul. Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Astree tackled the quarterback. He's giving him business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
Well, Dal, unfortunately, no camera this week. They were being used for actual work related business.
Well,
can you believe this?
Technically, they're just sitting in another location because we hauled them to a broadcast for Tuesday, and then it's a pain in the butt. Let's just call
it another one tomorrow.
It's a pain in the butt. Well, it's the same venue, so
yeah.
We thought if we can just tuck these away back in the corner, then we don't have to haul them again on Thursday, which is what the plan is. Unfortunately for us on Wednesday, that means there's no cameras in the studio. So
yeah,
that's where we're at. I know all you ladies out there who love to stare at my hotness, you're just out of luck this week.
Yeah, they're going to jump off of something very tall now, Dal,
yep,
because of this.
Tall and
onto something
screaming
very sharp
all the way down.
Which is a shame because I brought my Joe Burrow jersey into the studio for our lovely Josh Allen Joe Burrow Bowl that took place, that I was really hoping was going to be the AFC title game, but the NFL stole that from us. How dare they?
Well, circumstance also stole it from us.
Yeah.
I've said it before, I like Joe Burrow. I like him a lot.
It is funny because I believe Josh Allen's if we both just assume that, well, my favorite quarterback is whoever's quarterbacking my own team.
Yeah.
Fine, throw that's number, okay. My second favorite quarterback is Joe Burrow, and my third is Josh Allen, and I believe your two and three are the same, but flipped.
Well, and I would even go so far to say Josh is my favorite quarterback because the quarterback on my team is not very good. So,
well, the quarterback on my team is incredibly unproven at this point, but he still has a C on his helmet, so I still root for him the hardest.
Yeah. I will say this, watching that game, I feel like, one, Cincinnati seems to have a little more toughness, especially on defense.
Well,
and then I will also say, I feel like the Bengals have more weapons around Joe Burrow than the Bills have for Josh Allen.
Certainly from the receiver core perspective.
Yes.
I would say
depth-wise.
Offensively, I think you give the advantage in total number of receivers to Joe Burrow. I would say you probably give the offensive line advantage, though, to Buffalo, but
I don't know.
But how about, and I forget his name, maybe we can pull it up.
Hendrickson? You've got
you have a computer in front of you. The left tackle they had to throw in there, making his first career NFL start. They took him in round two last year. You know, everyone lamented the Bengals for their decision to take Jamar Chase in the first round. You remember that, right?
Yep, they were.
Oh, you got to take Penei Sewell, blah, blah, blah.
He's turned out to be kind of a, yeah.
I mean, Sewell's actually been fine.
He's
as
okay.
I've
heard. He ain't Jamar Chase.
No. It's kind of hard occasionally to.
Sharping played. He was good.
I believe it was their left tackle. He might have had Carmen in his name.
There's Cordell Volson.
No, that wasn't it.
Oh, Jackson Carmen.
There we go. Jackson Carmen making
from,
his...
From Clemson.
Yeah, his first career NFL start. He was their second round pick. And so this was his chance to say, no, it's okay, Bengals. Don't worry. You didn't need Penei Sewell anyway. You have me, Jackson Carmen. And here he comes in, play left tackle. And I didn't really pay much attention after the first drive, but I literally distinctly remember the first drive. My eyes couldn't leave the left tackle spot. I'm like, all right, let's see what this kid is going to do out here. In his first career game, he's going to play the Buffalo Bills in a playoff game. And he played really well.
Well, he is 6'5", 330, and played at Clemson. So it's not like,
I mean, how
not
bad could he be?
Exactly.
But, you know, I mean, he's making his first career start second year into the league. You're like, oh, well, why weren't you starting before that? Well, maybe just because their free agent that they signed this offseason must have just been playing really well, because he comes in, he has a great game against a very good Buffalo front. Speaking of good game, though, we just talked about it, the weapons that the Bengals had. The Bengals' offense looked nigh unstoppable at times. I know that they officially scored 27 points, but did they not just look like such a well-oiled machine through most of that game?
They were unstoppable, honestly. The Bills certainly didn't slow them down much. The But when you start to compare, again, and this is not to take anything away from Burrow, because I really do like Burrow a lot. But as you look at the comparison of players, let's just do it. Let's look at the comparison of, come on, computer.
Well, regardless, I'll say this about Buffalo's receiving core.
There we go. Okay, so Burrow and Allen, they're both elite. We feel like they're both top five, top three,
I think whatever. It's indisputable at this point that the top three quarterbacks in the league are Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow. In any order you want to put them, that's the top three, and then you can start a discussion after that.
Okay. Then you look at the backfield. So the Bengals, Joe Mixon, 20 carries, mm-hmm. 105 yards. He had a great year. Ran with a lot of attitude this year. Even Samaje Perine, who Washington drafted and could never quite get out of it, which looking at him now makes me feel like it's Washington's fault.
A fun little fact about Perine, I actually had him he was one of my rental players that my dad loves to hate on me for. I had two running backs on a bye week one week when he was in Washington. I believe he was playing Dallas or something. I picked him up to play against my dad, and I said, oh, crap, I got two running backs on a bye. This was like 3 or 4 years ago. I said, all right, Perine, it's your time to shine. It was one of those, sign him for a week, start him, cut him the next week. I think he got me something like 29 points on the one game because he caught like 10 balls out of the backfield or something.
He is the all-time leading rusher at Oklahoma, or he was. Maybe somebody's passed him. He's a horse. He really is. But if you'd have told
and what good running backs have ever come out of Oklahoma?
But if you'd have told me that Adrian he would have left Peterson. Washington and would have turned into not only a serviceable running back, but one that would catch the ball, he had 5 catches in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I'm just saying, backfield wise, Joe Mixon is better than Devin Singletary.
Absolutely.
Not only can Mixon give you 100 yards on the ground running, he can also catch the ball. You also have Perine that can catch the ball. James Cook, he had a good year. And so I would say maybe as the second running back, he's better than Perine, maybe over the course of a season.
I'd like to see James Cook maybe pass Singletary next year on the depth chart, too.
I would like to see anyone pass Singletary. I'm not against Singletary.
We love you, Devin, by the way.
I'm fine with him, but he's not the right fit for what they need.
I am curious if part of the reason Buffalo isn't an attractive place for running backs isn't that, you know, nowadays you get paid a lot based on your stats.
Yeah.
Which I feel is unfair because I'm not as much of a stats guy. I don't believe it. But a lot of running backs, do you suppose they don't look at the fact that Allen rushes for 10 to 15 touchdowns a year and say, well, that's my money. I don't want to go there.
But I don't know that they want him to do that. That's the whole that's the thing. I think they'd be happy if he had 5 or 7, you know, somewhere in that range.
As someone who has him on my fantasy team consistently, I am perfectly content with him having 10 to 15 rushing touchdowns.
Continuing this comparison, so backfield advantage Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Receiving core, Ja'Marr Chase and Stephon Diggs, you can probably
can even them out, maybe. I'd probably rather have Chase.
I'm not here to nitpick. Okay. So yeah, I mean, if you want to
pick. You'd rather have Higgins than Gabe Davis, though.
Yes. I guess that's what I'm saying. Chase and Diggs, let's just say they basically cancel each other out as number ones.
I'll say this, though. I don't know if it would have mattered on that particular day if you had flipped the receiving cores. And here's what I mean. Cincinnati's defense showed up.
You're right.
In that game. I mean, you could have given them the 99 Rams, and I don't know if Holt or Bruce would have been open much throughout the day.
I think the Bills staff, which...
And Buffalo just looked... They looked lost on defense at times.
Sean McDermott admitted that they got out-coached by the Cincinnati staff. They absolutely did. I'm willing to concede that, too. And the Bills missing a couple of really important, healthy pieces on defense.
You said it initially, and I think we still didn't understand the full impact Von Miller being out would really have on Buffalo's defense.
I didn't realize it until they pointed it out during the game. When he played, the Bills were like 6th in the league in quarterback pressures.
Mm-hmm.
After he got injured, they were 26th.
Yeah, they don't have much of a pass rush.
That is a stark chasm. holy cow. I mean,
and
why did they draft Russo and all those guys if they can't get to the damn quarterback? What's the point?
Yeah, it was unfortunately more lopsided than I think either of us were really hoping for in our
It was all Bengals.
This was our dream matchup that the whole season was leading up to, and then
we were hoping for like the 13-second game where they both threw for 450 yards, and it was just like holy shit.
And let's just be clear here. This was I thought last week Josh Allen made some boneheaded plays throughout that game. This week, if Josh Allen had been playing the Miami Dolphins, he'd have had 400 yards passing.
But so
I mean, he was legitimately dropping some dimes, and there just happened to be Bengals everywhere.
So I guess I want to finish this little comparison, and then I do have a point to that. So second wide receiver for Cincy, who would you say it is?
Higgins.
Higgins or Boyd?
I'd get T. Higgins is the better player at this point.
Higgins, so better than the Bills' second receiver.
Better than Gabe Davis.
Boyd is better than
playoff games.
Boyd is better than the third Bills receiver.
Which, yeah, it's McKenzie and Beasley like to rotate.
Over the course of the season, Dawson Knox was better than Hayden Hurst, but not in that game.
You can't see this at home, but I kind of just shrugged.
Maybe he wasn't. but I'm just
they're
saying,
about the same guy.
But in that game, Hayden Hurst had the bigger impact. It wasn't even close.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, you go down the line, and the Bengals have more. They have constructed a better offense than the Bills have.
I think the biggest part of all this is that Buffalo has more name recognition on defense. But 2 years in a row, come playoff time, there's not a lot of name recognition. You got Sam Hubbard. You got
Hendrickson was a stud.
You got Hendrickson, and you got Wilson and Awuzie.
Logan Wilson.
And even then, do casual fans know these names, or do just us nerds know
these
names?
They're learning
them now. But 2 years in a row, the Bengals defense has gone into the playoffs, and much like kind of Burrow himself, the Bengals have taken on this identity of, okay, you doubt us in the regular season because, yeah, we occasionally do that thing where we'll drop a game to the Jets for no reason. Well, but when it comes to, all right, it's time to play the Chiefs. All right, it's time to play the playoffs. It's time to play, you know, the 1984 49ers, this, whoever it is. If that's an important game and a quality opponent, they save their best football for those games. And we're kind of seeing it. Once again here, they took on a Buffalo Bills squad that has Josh Allen at the helm.
In Orchard Park. In the snow.
In the snow. And they played. I texted you and I said this. I said, that was as close to a perfect football game as I've seen played by a team all season.
But I guess to finish out my comparison point, I feel like the Bengals have a better constructed offense, whereas with the Bills, it's they are almost counting on Josh Allen to throw for 380 yards and four touchdowns and run for another one for them to win postseason, which that is ridiculous.
Which is amazing because it didn't feel like it was that long ago that we, I mean, remember in the preseason, the Bills were like the consensus. Yeah. Oh, this is the new Rams. They went out and they put together this super team. And then a bunch of them got hurt, and that doesn't help.
Well, and part of it is, let's be honest, even in that 13-second game, Gabe Davis had four touchdowns. So everybody's ready to go, holy crap, Gabe Davis is this, and McKenzie is that. I'll be honest, the last
although Gabe Davis did play really well against the Bengals.
I'm not taking anything away from those guys. They were good.
He shows, he's got a little bit, he belongs in Cincinnati, doesn't he? He shows up in the big games.
But of the last two or three games, I thought Khalil Shakir had a bigger impact than Gabe Davis, which is nice. Boise State guy, when they picked him in the fifth round, I'm like, that was a steal because he was dominant in the Mountain West. So maybe he'll continue to get better. But the Bills, this is just me talking. They need a better offensive line. Someone pointed it out today. Josh Allen was bleeding through his sleeves on his elbows for 2 weeks in a row. That's an issue. So the offensive line, the depth
that
of
that
it
was a lot of injury though.
But
when they had all five starters early in the year, that was arguably top five offensive.
But that's
line.
My point. It's a 17 game season.
Yeah,
now.
You're going to need backups. I think is
you
what you're saying.
They need more depth there. They need a bigger stud in the backfield. They need something. I don't know.
There's going to be a lot of free agent options this offseason.
I'll be honest. Do they go for someone like Saquon Barkley? Do you throw that kind of money at him knowing you're going to get 1,000, 1,200 yards if he's healthy and he can catch? I'm not sure how many yards receiving Saquon had this last year.
I mean, he's a really good receiver, though.
But he's definitely a threat out of the backfield. I'll tell you. Seeing Christian McCaffrey stay healthy this season for the Niners
and Barkley
made me sick that the Bills, because that was a rumor a year ago, mm-hmm. that the Bills were going to get McCaffrey. I'm just like, oh my gosh, that would have been awesome.
And of course, McCaffrey tearing it up for the 49ers. Held in check this week, though.
Still got a touchdown.
And Dak Prescott, he was allergic to possession throughout some of that game.
But the weird thing about Dak Prescott is he's worth the money in the market that he's getting. Mm-hmm. He's put up the numbers and had the longevity to deserve that money. He does. But at some point, you've got to win in the postseason. Otherwise, but I'm looking at Jerry Jones. I mean, Jerry Jones earlier this year when Dak missed those games and Cooper Rush was playing, you could tell Jerry Jones was like, what am I paying Dak Prescott for? In fact, I think he even said that a couple of times.
And there is a difference to me in some ways. Tony Romo sometimes got some unfair flack.
Absolutely.
For, well, why didn't he win in the playoffs? Well, I don't know. He threw for 400 yards. Take it up with the defense, I guess. Prescott is the opposite. Prescott, you're right, he plays well, but a lot of these playoff losses, doesn't it feel like, well, if Prescott didn't turn the ball over three or four times, maybe the Cowboys win? I mean, how many times are we going to say that at the end of a year?
Especially with their defense as it's currently constructed and Dan Quinn running it, that's a really good defense.
And Micah Parsons maybe not so helpful with his Twitter comments.
You know what, though? Micah Parsons...
Yeah, I mean, of course, we can do the old, oh, well, he's a great player. He's earned the right to. You still don't want to, though. You don't want your players bickering with each other on social media.
And I don't know that he's earned it. Great. The word great gets thrown around a little too much.
We'll say, I'm not talking historically, but he's top three at his position?
Absolutely. Probably top three of defensive players.
And, yeah, he didn't have a spectacular game against the 49ers.
Guess why? Because he's going against the Silverback, which is his nickname, by the way, Trent Williams, who Washington completely screwed up. They drafted him. He played in Washington for 10 years. He's going to go. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer, most likely. Have you seen what he did against Micah Parsons in Dallas, and like when they just broke it all down this last week? And like as someone put it, he's 330 pounds, he's 6'5", and he has the feet of a ballerina. And he does. Micah Parsons is like jabbing and doing all these different... He couldn't get past Trent Williams. He barely even sniffed Brock Purdy. Bet you he doesn't even know what Brock Purdy smells like.
Not only just from a pass rushing perspective, was held in check. I mean, I think he had two tackles in the game. That's whatever. Sometimes your job isn't necessarily to be the game wrecker when you are a game wrecker. Sometimes you have to just go, well, they're going to put two or three guys on me, so that's my job. I'm just going to eat up bodies. However, I did find it funny that despite the fact that he had a poor game, he went out and criticized Deebo Samuel on Twitter, saying Deebo was posted something about Parsons had before the game, said, well, that's who we want. We want the 49ers. We want best on best, which is a little disrespectful to Philadelphia, but that's what he said.
And
so
Cincinnati.
Deebo, in the NFC.
Gotcha.
So Deebo Samuel retweeted it after the game and said something to the effect of, well, you got it. And Michael Parsons said, and what did you do all game, Deebo? Three catches? Huh. Come talk to me when you actually have an impact. We just need to work on our offense. Said so. I don't have it in front of me.
He's
basically
not wrong.
He criticized the offense, said, what did you do, Deebo? Which I only find ironic because Micah Parsons didn't really have much of a game either.
But I'll be honest, he's correct. Dallas's defense played well enough to win that game.
Sure. Parsons didn't.
They didn't get enough help.
And I'm being facetious here because, again, like I just said, Parsons' job in that game was eat up bodies, free up other guys. But does he not see the irony that maybe, that's Deebo Samuel's job, too?
These are still just kids to me. Early 20s, mid 20s. I was an idiot.
They're younger than me.
Yeah. And they always will be moving forward. How about that?
Joe Burrow and Josh Allen are the exact same age as me. Shaq
is my age.
I am talking about these two quarterbacks earlier, like they were like my heroes. And I'm like, oh my goodness, we graduated from high school the same year. Unbelievable.
Well, going back to Buffalo just really quick, Buffalo needs more depth on the offensive line. They need a stud in the backfield to take some of the running pressure and some of the dings off of Josh Allen. And I think they need to continue. Maybe they need a different wide receivers coach. I'm not sure, because it seems like they do pretty well, but their receivers, other than Diggs, need to take another step.
Or just bring in another one. But honestly, they
need to take that next step.
I think if you're going to, I mean, Buffalo doesn't have a lot of cap space this offseason. That's a big thing. If you're going to allocate what little cap space you have, if you're Buffalo, I wouldn't waste it on a position group that, like you just said, there are better ones out there. But if you're in the top 10, you're fine. Focus on something else. I would rather spend it on, hey, look, Tony Pollard's available.
Ugh.
Hey, look, Saquon Barkley's available.
That is the money move right there.
Assuming
he is a free agent.
Yes, assuming.
Got a broken leg, but he's free agent.
He's fully healthy by the time next season rolls out.
I think he'll be healthy in 2 months.
It might even get a bargain because of it.
I just
say, hey, Tony, you want to sign a 1 year, $5 million deal?
Boy, Tony, that would be a dream. That would be a dream scenario for the Bills.
Only because it would get rid of him from your NFC East.
Well, there's that. But he's already better than Elliott.
Oh, yeah.
He's already better than Elliott. He's not going to cost you as much.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably a better teammate. I'm just throwing that out there because I don't like Ezekiel Elliott. I have no idea.
And his stupid nose ring.
Yeah. Come on. That would be awesome. I would love that.
And for the fine people at home wondering why we haven't been spending a whole lot of time recapping Eagles-Giants.
What's there to talk about?
You know why.
Son, I'll meet you out in the woods.
Can I just say, Kansas City, I'm very mad at you, Jacksonville. Kansas City played a very beatable football game. And Jacksonville outbeatabled them.
I think part of it is Jacksonville they've made some huge strides this year. But I think, they're still really inexperienced when it comes to the postseason. And I think had they had this year's experience under their belt, I think maybe they pull that one out, but they didn't. So,
Now we've got Kansas City and Cincinnati is the main event coming up this week. And Eagles Ford, what a delicious pair of NFC title or conference title games. I'm not fully done with the Bills yet now that I think about it. There's one other thing, too. And I know you're not going to like to hear it because it is technically a criticism of Josh Allen. But I feel like people need to remember that when we talk about things these players need to fix, I feel like people are too impatient these days because we've seen too many Justin Herberts and Mahomes and stuff. And now I guess we just assume that's how quarterbacking works. Well, you should be a top three elite quarterback your rookie year. And
if you're not, out of the gate,
throw him away. Josh Allen's 26. He's played several years. He's probably not in his, from a passing perspective and a mental perspective, he's not going to hit his prime for like 4 or 5 more years.
He has led the league in touchdowns responsible in the last 5. He has 6 more than Mahomes.
Even from a non-statistical perspective.
He's 130 touchdowns.
I'm just talking about, there was a time when people said, you know, a quarterback doesn't really hit their stride until they turn 30. Apparently, we've just stopped thinking that, I guess.
I don't know.
That's when you really... apart from these freakazoids that come into the league every now and then,
Josh,
that's the typical.
Josh has some gunslinger in him.
Josh Allen right now...
And he did a little too much of that this year. I said this last week. I think the Bills missed Brian Daboll just a little bit.
And that's what... I'm going to say, Josh Allen, even with the roster they have right now, even with its holes, the Buffalo Bills are still a Super Bowl contending team if Josh Allen can make the switch from, and I think Romo even hinted at it, occasionally Josh Allen despite being the reason the offense clicks, I don't want to say loses the game, but occasionally will make a decision or two that keeps the opponent in a game that they shouldn't be in. Yeah. Whereas maybe Josh Allen, rather than being Superman all the time, when it comes postseason time, and this is why I think Burrow has clicked in the NFL so quickly, is because in college, Burrow kind of was a Josh Allen, if you remember his LSU days. He said, I got all these offensive weapons. I can just show off my athleticism all I want. I can throw the ball sidearm. I can do all this. It'll be great. Then he got to the NFL, realized his offensive line wasn't quite as good as it was at LSU, and what did he do? He made the switch. He's more of a distributor now, like a Brady or a Montana. He's not there to show off his Mahomesian athletic freakazoid plays. He said, in 2 seconds, I'm going to read the defense, and I'm going to go where the best place to go with this football is. I think if they can get a coach in there, or Josh Allen can even just figure it out on his own. I mean, he's a big boy. He's good at football. No one's trying to say Josh Allen can't just figure this out. Again, he's only 26. If Josh Allen can go into some of these games against some of these better defenses and realize that he doesn't have to be the superhuman, I need to throw 50-yard touchdowns every drive off my back foot, and can learn to be a distributor when the time calls for it, I think Buffalo is every bit the team that we all claimed they were in the preseason.
Well, I think it's a lot like what Joe Burrow said a couple weeks ago. They said, hey, do you feel like somebody brought up the window.
Oh, yes.
And he said, the window's open as long as I'm here. the same thing for the Bills. The window's open as long as he's there.
Obviously, I think we named them all, right? The three quarterbacks that you feel like as long as you have them, it doesn't matter what the rest of your team looks like, you could still pull a miracle. Mahomes, Allen, and Burrow.
But I'm not trying to pick on Devin Singletary. But
I see you have his stats pulled up there.
But he had 819 yards rushing. You were talking about Josh not needing to do everything. Mm-hmm. And that just takes me back to he needs more help in the backfield. Because how many times, and it made me think while you were talking, it made me think how many 100-yard running back games did Josh get from his teammates this year?
Do Josh Allen's own 100-yard games count?
Well, no. And I don't know that he had any this year.
I think he had two.
But I'm just saying he needs a little more of a power back that can catch the ball rather than these little scat backs. Because
would you say that you'd probably prefer Tony Pollard, though?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I would.
To a Barkley.
If first off, I think Barkley is going to cost too much.
And that would be the main reason.
With his draft pedigree, the fact that he is now resurgent and healthy, I saw that he's going to command anywhere from 10 to $15 million a year, which is a pretty big gap. I mean, that's a $5 million gap. It could be closer to 15. But as you already said, can the Bills go out and pay a running back $15 million? Right now, I don't know that they can. Tony Pollard, I don't think, is going to cost $15 million.
Probably not.
I think you could get him for half.
Unless he's got a really good agent.
But I'm just saying, and as you said, he's not in a position of bargaining strength because he was injured to end the season. Mm-hmm. That's not on him, but I'm just saying, I think they could get him for half of what they could get Barkley, and he's not going to have nearly the mileage on him. And I still think that there are players out there that want to go and win with certain players. And I think the Bills still have that draw, even though it maybe isn't quite as strong as it was last offseason. I feel like if Tony Pollard's looking at his offers 3 months from now or 2 months or whatever it is, and he's thinking, and he's close, and you can go to a team that has a chance to win the Super Bowl, or you can go to the Texans. I would obviously go to the team that can try and win the Super Bowl, but I just, you know, that's easy for us to say.
You go to Houston, though, you might get to meet a whole bunch of new coaches that you've never, because they're going to be a new one every year.
And again, that's easy for us to say, because this is going to be this is a big contract for him. Mm-hmm. So maybe he's going to command more than I think, but just the running back market, I just don't know what he's going to get.
And we're completely ignoring the possibility of Josh Jacobs here. But Jacobs isn't much of a pass catcher. But I don't know that Buffalo would be in love with that.
And we keep bringing that up. But since I've got Devin Singletary pulled up here, how many receiving yards did he have this last year? Let me look it up real quick.
No, but Josh Allen being your franchise player in Buffalo, if you're going to spend money on a running back, you're going to get one that you want to complement what you already have. You're not just going to take one and say, well, it's better than what we had.
So Devin Singletary, do you want to throw a guess or can you see it?
41 catches.
He had 38 catches.
Dang it.
For 280 yards, one touchdown. That ain't enough.
No, but you could sort of make the argument that you could combine him and Cooks receiving. Well,
and especially
and you
since...
You say if you're going to go pay money for a feature back, you want what both of them had.
And Cook was pretty darn close to him. Running-wise, he had 500 yards. I think the Bills didn't use Nyheim Hines enough after that trade.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's very capable. But again, let's say they could get a guy like, I'm going to use a Washington comparison. Let's say they could get a guy like Brian Robinson, the guy that the Redskins drafted. The Bills would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a guy out there that you can draft, great. If you can get Tony Pollard, great. If you can afford Saquon Barkley, then fine. But
we're saying all of this. We're eliminating the possibility that maybe James Cook comes back next year, takes over that backfield, and, you know, like any other player at any other position, grows. I mean, James Cook could be a 1,000-yard rusher next year.
To me, something's got to change there. Now that I've got it pulled up, Josh Allen had 762 yards rushing, 7 touchdowns. So he had just a biscuit less than Devin Singletary rushing. And then he had 260 yards more than James Cook, which I don't know. I don't know what the full answer is, but I do think that the bottom line is Josh needs more help offensively, consistently from his backfield. I feel like it's, ooh, are we going to get anything today? Or nope, he's just going to tote the rock.
I'll say this. If that's the way we want to do this, I will gladly look Buffalo right in the eyes as a Bears fan. And I will say, well, we had the number one rushing offense in football last year. You can have all of our running backs if you give us all your receivers. We'll swap. And everything will be great.
Hey, you as a Bears fan had the season you wanted.
That's true.
They were somewhat competitive, but they still got the number one pick.
Yes, which I'm hoping. Now, every mock draft I'm seeing is just assuming that the Bears are just going to take either Carter or Anderson one. I get that it's hard to try to mock a trade. Okay,
now, you're way ahead of me on the draft. So tell me who these guys are, because I'm still learning the names.
Oh, Will Anderson, of course, the big stud pass rusher from Alabama. If there's one thing to like about him, first of all, he's one of the younger options. But the pro comparison, according to ESPN and Mel Kiper, is Von Miller. Like that. Everyone is considering Will Anderson this generational star pass rusher, right? We were all told he's better than the last two number one picks. He is better than Javon Walker and Aiden Hutchinson. That's what Kiper is telling. Will Anderson is the guy. But Jalen Carter is the big defensive tackle from Georgia. Gets a lot of the press. Anderson has the higher potential. Big star edge rusher. Jalen Carter is ready to be a Pro Bowl NFL defensive tackle plugging up the middle of your defense right now. They're like, he's played 3 full years as a starter. Big dude, 350, 6'7", defensive tackle. And despite being 6'7", he can get under the pads. Of course, there's the very funny highlight of in the SEC championship game, him sacking the LSU quarterback with one arm, picking him up and then patting him on the back like he was burping a baby. It was very hilarious. It showed everyone that's not a normal strength.
Yeah, he's a freak.
So you've got the freak, ready-to-go defensive tackle versus the potentially generational edge rusher, and of course people just value edge rushers more. So it's the better player against the better possible value.
And that being said, let's be honest.
And that
in a perfect world, the Bears don't pick number one.
Well, yes.
They get 2 or 3 first-round picks for someone who wants to move up. because they have more holes to fill than either defensive tackle or offensive
My
line.
Perfect world is that the team that trades up with us is either the Colts or Texans. Now, the Texans would only be one of those scenarios where they're worried someone else is going to go take their quarterback. And I know us fans find that silly, but have you noticed how many GMs are actually unironically willing to do that? They're like, no, I have the quarterback.
It happens every year.
Yeah. Where they're like, I know there's three first-round quarterbacks, but I don't want two or three. I want my guy. They all do it.
Here's what's interesting. I will throw this out there. Washington, for once, didn't do that last year.
Mm-hmm.
They loved Sam Howell, and they let him sit there until the fifth round, and now he's going to probably be their starter this next year.
And he played a perfectly fine football game against the good Cowboys.
But it's just interesting. But you're right. Every year, somebody moves up and spends way too much draft capital to move up into that top three.
But here's why I would like one of those. Because they pick 2 and 4, and we wouldn't get as much of a return for it. You know? I mean, if we trade back with Carolina, there's talk that Carolina would give up like 3 first-round picks. If you trade back, though, with Houston or Indianapolis, you get your haul, you get a bunch of draft picks, but you know what else you get? You probably still get Will Anderson or Jalen Carter. Maybe.
Well, I'm looking at the CBS mock draft because I haven't paid for Mel Kiper's.
Oh, they think I just told Duke about that. The Raiders were one of the teams talking to the
Bears. They're saying they're, at least for right now, they're throwing in a mock trade from the Raiders to the Bears, and they're going to select in this mock draft C.J. Stroud, the quarterback from Ohio State. Number one overall.
He does have the biggest cannon, apart from maybe Will Levis.
I liked him. I just, call me, and I'm not trying to speak ill of the dead, call me a little skittish on Ohio State quarterbacks.
Although I just said he's far from proven. I'm actually very content at the moment with the Ohio State quarterback we currently have. I'm just waiting to see some growth. We'll see if maybe we surround him with some receivers this year. Maybe the passing game takes a step forward. After that, you know, you give your first-round quarterbacks 3 or 4 years. Right now, what he did in round two, I'm fine with it.
Now, according to this, in that mock trade, your Bears would end up getting Trenton Simpson, linebacker from Clemson.
Oh, is that the Clemson guy, the pass rusher?
I'm just saying that's what this says.
Yep.
I'm going to scroll down because, you know, I'm going to look at my team. They have the Commies picking Cam Smith, a cornerback out of South Carolina.
All I care about now is find me where Michael Mayer went. Oh, no.
They have him to the Patriots at number 14. That's actually who I want Washington to pick. I think Washington's red zone offense... I like
Michael Mayer is
they could make a huge leap up into the top 10 of red zone offense if they had a tight end that was more effective.
Michael Mayer is nigh unstoppable, at least at the college level in the red zone. I guess though if it gets to that point, I'd root for the Patriots to take him just so that because I see who's one pick later than that. If Michael Mayer goes to Green Bay, you will hear me scream from across the entire
state.
It'll
be like the Princess Bride.
Yes.
That is the sound of a man in absolute pain.
Correct. Can't have that happening. I will personally do everything in my power to prevent it, which is nothing. I have no power. But I will utilize all of my no power to make sure that can't happen. Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to the Bears hopefully trading back, collecting a host of picks. But like I said... There's all this talk about how great Carter and Anderson are. Don't think that I won't be perfectly content if the Bears don't get the haul that they're hoping for, and they say, you know what, fine, no one gave us what we wanted. We'll sit right here at 1. We'll take Will Anderson.
Yeah. just for what it's worth, this particular mock draft has the Bills picking Parker Washington, a Penn State wide receiver, 5'10", 212. They've got the Bengals picking a cornerback out of Mississippi State, Emmanuel Forbes.
Do they not have my boy from Illinois going in round one? He teeters from round one to round two.
I'd have to you go ahead and talk for a minute and I'll look.
Yeah, I forget his name. The cornerback from Illinois always teeters between late round one and early round two on all the mocks. Anyhow,
of course, everything's going to change between now and
then. We just talked about you're talking about free agent running backs. If the Bills are really desperate for a running back, you want to talk about a stud coming out of college that might fall to him because running backs just keep falling these days. Bijan Robinson out of Texas, oof, supposed to be the next Saquon Barkley, and you wouldn't even have to pay him Saquon Barkley money.
Nope, because he's
so
not
there
gonna,
you go.
In fact, I'm just looking at this mock, and it is what it is. It's a mock draft from CBS Sports, which
I mean, you can write whatever you want on there. It doesn't really matter.
But I am shocked how many quarterbacks they have going in the first round. They've got Stroud 1, Bryce Young 2, Levis 4.
I would not even be shocked, though, if that happens.
Anthony Richardson 9. That's the
quarterback that one would
out
shock
of Florida.
Me.
So they've got 4 in the top 9. And then I'm just trying to see if there's any more, but none of those guys really blow my skirt up, if I'm being truthful.
Yeah.
I'd rather go with Sam Howell.
I probably would. I mean, the only one that even remotely moves me is Bryce Young. And when I say move me, I mean like Bryce Young could potentially one day be the 16th best quarterback in the NFL.
I liked what CJ Stroud did in the playoffs. I thought he was really good. But
Did you like what he did against Michigan, though?
It is such a crapshoot. It is such a crapshoot.
It kind of is.
As a guy whose team is perpetually at 500 or thereabouts, we need a playmaker. We haven't had a playmaker since RG3, and we only got 1 year of him.
And can we maybe, now that we've learned our lesson, if any of these quarterbacks suddenly shoots up the draft rankings after a pro day, I'm killing someone.
It's going to happen.
I'm shooting a scout clean in his head.
What? Zach Wilson?
In Minecraft.
Zach Wilson thrown to a chair on the far side of the facility doesn't impress you? Oh, I have so much shameful joy that he is. And what a dick. Somebody brings up the idea of the Jets bringing in a veteran quarterback, and he has the gall to say, "Oh, well, if they do that, I'll make that guy's life a living hell." Really, Zach Wilson? What if they bring in Aaron freaking Rodgers? Are you going to make his life a living hell?
Do you have any idea how much joy it would bring me if Zach Wilson made Aaron Rodgers' life a living hell?
He can't.
No, I mean like he should show up at Aaron Rodgers' house and like key his car and like throw his own dog poo in Aaron Rodgers'
yard.
Of
the two, who are you most scared of, really, deep down? I think Aaron Rodgers is halfway unhinged. I'm scared of him.
It can be in the middle of the night. I don't care. Zach Wilson can get beat up at the end of this, too. As long as Aaron Rodgers is inconvenienced.
I'm just saying, people, we live in that part of the country where there's a lot of Zach Wilson love. And they're like, well, if only the Jets would do this, if only this. None of it is aimed at him. He is a crappy leader.
May I just say?
Crappy.
That the greatest thing that ever happened to my boy, Ian Book, is that I don't have to hear any of this stuff about him because he's just a perennial backup quarterback now. Isn't that fun?
Yeah.
Isn't that hilarious how that works? That my favorite quarterback in all of Notre Dame history is completely devoid of all criticism because he doesn't ever see the field. But if he had like been thrown in and actually earned a starting job and had like he threw 20 touchdowns and had 13 interceptions. He was a below average quarterback. He would be so hated on all the time. But because he's not even good enough to get that, I just get to enjoy my Ian Book memories. Nothing. No one has. And he might get a Super Bowl ring out of it because he's currently Jalen Hurts' backup.
So there's another quarterback I want to throw this out there in line to get paid. And I don't know that he deserves the money he's going to get. Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
So Daniel Jones had easily his best season, threw for, I don't remember the yardage.
Who's the coach that helped him fix that again?
Dable.
Yeah.
But he only had 15 passing touchdowns. Now, he only had like 4 picks, which is incredible.
I understand,
He ran for 700 yards. But if the Giants franchise tag him, $31 million. Is Daniel Jones worth $31 million? He threw 15 touchdowns. That's $2 million per touchdown.
May I just say, by the way, how I get it, the Giants were winning. I think we can all agree that Daniel Jones was not personally putting the New York Giants on his back and carrying them to victories.
But they sure act like they want him back.
No. I'm going to then bring my Bears back into this. Every time the NFL posts anything about Justin Fields, oh, look at this cool Justin Fields highlight. Oh, well, did you see this throw from, you know, cause like they do with all the players. Anytime Mahomes, you know, ties his shoe on the sideline, it ends up on a highlight on NFL's Twitter page. So they'll do that for all the replies, every last one of them. He running back. He poo-poo. He can't pass. Justin Fields. He poo-poo. He running back. Every single one of them. Like, Daniel Jones never gets that. Justin Fields had more passing yards and rushing yards than Daniel Jones. Where's the Daniel Jones is just a running back hate, people? Huh? Fields had more passing touchdowns.
I'm just saying, he is not worth what he's going to get. He's going to get a huge contract, whether it's from the Giants or someone else. He's in line to get it. And the Giants act like they want him back. And if they can't work something out, like I said, the current franchise tag is over $31 million for a quarterback. Because the franchise tag takes the average of the top five salaries and says, this is what you get. Mm-hmm. Well, quarterback salaries are pretty dang high right now, and the top five are pretty
dang
high.
Isn't it so disrespectful that just because of his position, Daniel Jones is going to make more money than Saquon Barkley this offseason?
I think Saquon Barkley's made plenty.
Plenty for a person, but like, just look at those two players. Look me dead in the face and say, breaking news, Washington just signed former New York Giant blank. Which one of those would make you happy, Barkley? And which one of those would make you actively think about if football is worth watching anymore?
You're exactly right. I'd be excited for Barkley, and I would be mortified if it was Daniel Jones. We've already got Daniel Jones. His name's Taylor Heinicke, and I like Taylor Heinicke. Okay, he's not quite as good as Daniel Jones, but still.
I don't even know that Daniel Jones is like a dislikable person or anything.
No, he seems
perfectly fine. He just, you know.
I'm just saying he is in line for a paycheck that he is not worth this offseason. That's one to watch for sure.
So we got all that. Coming up this weekend, though, who you picking, Dal? And I feel like a bit of a rapscallion here because what have I been saying since like the entire offseason was my Super Bowl pick just to keep it going? I've been rallying behind Bengals 49ers since last playoffs just for the fun of it. Because I'm like, oh, well, that just feels like destiny, right? They lost two to the night. They got to finally beat the 49ers.
You might get it.
And I'm picking the Eagles.
You're picking the Eagles.
They just looked too good last week.
I think.
And Brock Purdy looked a little too much like a seventh-round rookie.
He was fine.
He was fine. Did he look like he could have beaten the Philadelphia Eagles last week?
No.
But so if he shows up like that again.
I keep waiting for him to have that rookie game. Like the one where he throws three picks. And maybe he won't. But
I would really love it.
But that's in the back of my mind.
If he did go to the Super Bowl and play the Bengals and he saved that game for them, that would be ideal.
Well, as a Wyoming fan, they'll be playing Philadelphia this week, so if Marcus Epps wants to get a couple of interceptions for the Eagles, that would be okay. Of course, that being said, Tashaun Gibson plays for the Niners, Wyoming guy. If he wants to pick off Jalen Hurts a couple times, I'm fine with that.
You routinely give me crap for because the Bears released him from a veteran contract, despite the fact that I have said nothing but good things about Tashaun Gibson.
You give me crap for stuff Washington's done that's stupid. By the way, this is where the part of the show where I just want to reiterate that Washington, no matter who wins the Super Bowl, Washington is in line to have the best off season of any franchise because they are on the verge of offloading 25 years worth of cancer in Daniel Snyder. Gone. Hopefully.
Both of us are so excited about this off season.
Well, because our teams are out.
How giddy of us. I just meant not just that they're out, but somehow both of us have a reason that we're looking at this offseason and going, oh. For the Bears, it's we have the most cap space in the league by something like $60 million, which means, unfortunately, unless you use the franchise tag on him, you're going to have to really work to bring Daron Payne back to Washington. Because if the Bears decide they want him, we can literally throw infinite money at him.
Well, and I think Daron Payne is definitely in the I am ready to be paid mode. And he deserves it.
Which is going to be important for the Bears because there's not a whole lot of free agent wide receivers. So I think you're going to really want to take that cap space and spend it on your two lines.
Yeah,
and well, focus on receiver and other fun things in the draft.
I'm hoping Washington, in getting rid of Carson Wentz, can take that money and just give it to Daron Payne, and that'll at least take care of 1 or 2 years.
And you know what's funny? So even if you did that, if they really wanted to, the Bears could still just stroll over and go,
oh, I know.
Would you like to throw $10 million more on top of that? Just to be dicks. Just because they said, we think that this would really upset Dal. Here you go. Here's $5 million more dollars.
I didn't know I had that kind of pull. You know, whatever.
Ryan Poles really hates Dal specifically. That's what you don't know. The other game, by the way. So, by the way, who you taking? Philly or 49ers?
I am taking Philly. They're the home team. They look really good. I think they're going to be ready. And the other one, how can you not pick the Bengals?
I am also taking the Bengals. That got spread to pick is the Bengals. Even. Or at least it was 2 days
you
ago.
You can sit there and tell me Mahomes is healthy all you want. Go back and watch that play. He's not all the way healthy.
I don't care if he's... Mahomes could be 120%. Do the Bengals not look like the best team in the AFC?
They do. They might look like the best team in the freaking league.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm going Eagles-Bengals. That will be my Super Bowl pick.
So... nothing too horribly exciting between the two of us in that one. A couple of other things of note that we can go off on. So we got the XFL schedule. For those of you that are interested in this, can you call it a spring league if it goes from February to April? Isn't that a winter league?
Sure as hell is winter where we live.
Yeah. anyhow... so, now, I know
there's snow up to the freaking rafters here.
You didn't really watch the USFL much last year.
I tried. I tried for the first couple of weeks, and it just didn't. And as soon as I saw that they were playing all the games in the same place, I'm like, I'm out.
Which they are going away from that this
they
coming
should.
Year.
That was stupid.
They haven't fixed it entirely. They've now decided they're playing in 4 stadiums instead of 1. So there's still 4 teams that don't get a home stadium for some reason.
It's stupid.
I think they're just trying to slowly do this so that they don't do what the AAF did and run out of money halfway through a season.
Yeah, in week 4 or whatever it was.
So, I mean, if it at least makes it so that they don't go bankrupt halfway through, then fine, do what you got to do. But I did joke with one of my buddies in a group
chat.
Go
buy a bus. Yeah.
I think it cost money to rent out or to rent out the stadiums.
Oh.
But if you're just one of those football nerds like I am, and of course we've talked about that. You make fun of me before. You're like, well, yeah, you watch the WNBA. You watch if it's on TV, Aaron will watch it. Because sometimes a man is just bored, Dal.
I understand.
Those of us that are just football nerds, like if football is on my TV, I'm going to watch it. We're eating good in 2023, baby.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have 3 leagues?
The Super Bowl finishes off the NFL season in February. Then guess what else in February? Right into the XFL. You didn't get a breather. You get like 1 week to catch your breath. Right into Winter League. That ends in April. Guess what kicks off in April? USFL, baby. That takes you all the way to, I want to say June. And then, you know.
Camp. Training camp.
Yeah, training camp's here. The NFL season's right around the corner, and you're just going.
I think it's smart. Football is the national sport. You can argue all you want, but it is.
I am curious. So, we were talking about the XFL. This one's not for anything. Last year, the USFL, I had a group of 8 people. It was all family and friends, just goofing about. The winning team, which ended up being my dad, who picked the Stallions.
Nice.
We each had our own team. I had the Breakers. They unfortunately came They went to the playoffs, lost to the Stallions. Unfortunate. I cry.
Just the fact that you know this.
Well, it lost me my free t-shirt, Dell.
Oh.
So my dad won the free t-shirt, and we said whoever's team comes in dead last in the standings has to buy the t-shirt. So my dad won himself a Stallions t-shirt from Kyler, whose Pittsburgh Maulers came in last.
Is he the Hillbilly Likes Pie?
No, he's the one that's been on our show a couple of
well,
times.
I know, but what's his
name? No, Hillbilly Likes Pie is my cousin Jack.
Okay. Sorry, I'm still learning.
Oh, you know. So this year, just for the fun of it, nothing on the line, but we said, well, what the heck, the XFL is on. People each want to just call a team now. We'll each have our own team. So I'm wondering, Dal, will this help in some way that you're the DC Defenders guy and you're in a group chat with other people? Maybe that will help you get more into it.
I just barely Googled it to see what the logo looks like.
Oh, they do have the most boring uniforms for this upcoming league.
I actually don't think it's bad.
They're not ugly. I said boring.
I kind of like the crossed lightning bolts.
I do believe that they changed one thing, though. You're looking at from the 2020 version. Oh. They have switched from red pants to white pants. That's it. You can type in 2023, maybe. Because they revealed those uniforms not too long ago. DC Defenders. On the road, white jerseys, red pants.
I like those.
Red jerseys, white pants. Perfectly adequate uniforms. Yeah. They're kind of what you might see in a high school team, though. I mean, if we're just being honest, you go, yep.
Nah, they're better than that.
That is a fine-looking small college right there. Anyhow.
I'm not even sure why I picked them. But
I assumed because of DC.
Well, and that was the reason why is because it's easy for me to remember.
Yeah.
not because I have some kind of DC loyalty.
It's just one team, right?
I hate politicians.
But we did give you kind of a rough go of it because we gave you the choice. There were only three teams left.
Yeah, they're like he's going to pick that one. And I did.
Yeah.
So I was very predictable.
So my cousin Jack, who we just said, Hillbilly Likes Pie, said,
one of my favorite handles, by the way,
said, oh, what the heck? You guys are all doing a big group here? Fine, I'll take Houston. They sound like fun. Then immediately got on Google and Googled their roster, which apparently is basically what you had to Google the uniform. He said, I don't know who's on Houston. Let me see this team that I now love and support. Let me go investigate my favorite team ever.
What are they? I don't even know what the Houston what?
Roughnecks. You can probably just type in XFL 2023 teams and it'll show you a picture of like all of them together.
Okay, so I'm looking at their roster. That's what you want me to do?
Oh, no, you don't actually have to. I said that's what Jack did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he just did that. He said, I got to go investigate, see who's on this roster.
Ooh, I like their logo because it's like the
it's oil. It's very Oiler-esque.
The Oiler roughneck is what it is. I like that.
And then Max. Max has politely chosen to be the Orlando Guardians official fan. So if they win, that's going to be really funny.
That will be fun.
So I believe
how old is Max now?
He is a good 8 months. Yesterday, 8 months old.
Happy 8 month, Max.
He's clapping right now. He knows that you wished it to him. Max. I just know he does.
He's a good boy.
Yeah, he'll be rooting for the Orlando Guardians. Jax, our official rep for the Houston Roughnecks. You're our DC Defenders guy.
DC Defenders!
We added you to the group text and everything, so maybe this will pique Dal's interest in a spring league. Even if the football isn't good, he'll enjoy purely for bragging rights in a group chat.
I think I am going to like the quote-unquote winter spring league because I'm going to need some distractions. That's a really busy time for us here, and there's a lot of driving through snow and a lot of setup and a lot of takedown. And if I can, I don't know.
Come home on a Saturday and watch the DC Defenders lose to Max's Guardians. It'll be
worth it.
I believe I took the Arlington Renegades, and originally it was purely based on color scheme of their logo and the fact that Kyle Sloter is going to be their quarterback.
Might as well be Kurt Loader.
And then I saw what their uniforms...
I guess that joke's a little old for you.
What their uniforms look like, and I said, oh, dang it, is it too late to switch teams? Because they actually managed to take blue and black and make it just a tiny little bit ugly.
Bob Stoops is their coach.
Yes. So I've got Arlington. We got three people all back in the St. Louis Battlehawks. You cheaters. My brother and Kyler are both Vegas Vipers. Let's see if I can remember all of them. I think I've gotten through six, right? My dad has chosen to support the San Antonio Brahmas. And his reason being, well, a league owned by The Rock wouldn't possibly let the Brahmas not be the champions, right?
I don't know.
And then the Brahma Bull was one of his wrestling nicknames.
Okay.
And I believe it, who's the last team here? My mom.
The Seattle Sea Dragons.
And my wife, Mackenzie, took the Seattle Sea Dragons. So that's the big group dynamic right now that we'll all be talking all our trash throughout the winter.
I'm actually kind of excited now. Maybe I'll buy me a DC Defenders hat. Ooh, shop. I can shop right here.
You can get the hat.
Well, there's a visor. Oh, there's a bucket hat. That looks stupid.
Well, it's XFL gear anyway, so isn't looking a little stupid kind of part of the whole shtick?
But see, they need to embrace the minor league baseball thing. There's some awesome minor league baseball stuff.
I forget who my team plays in week one. I want to say it's maybe like Vegas or something. But anyhow, I've seen the week ones. I actually checked too. So I'm going down to St. Louis because my wife's, I'm going to say sister. That's not officially what they are, but it's one of those interesting dynamics. They just grew up as next door neighbors, basically raised with each other. They call each other sister. She's having twins. So Mackenzie wanted to go down there when she has the twins and help her sister, unrelated by blood, out raising the babies for a week. So we're heading down there at the end of March, be in the St. Louis area. And I did. I checked. I'm like, are the Battle Hawks at home that weekend? Maybe I'll take the whole group. We'll all go to the Battle Hawks game and we'll all have a good... No, they're on the road that week. That's a
your
shame.
Your Arlington Renegades open up with the Vegas Vipers, by the way.
Ah, I got it right.
February 18th.
Let's go. And speaking of The Rock... The Royal Rumble's this Saturday, Dal.
Is he going to compete?
That is not announced. He is currently, despite the fact he has not been announced for the event, he has not made any statement at all. He's not been confirmed for the event. He is currently the Las Vegas betting odds favorite to win the Royal Rumble. It's fantastic. Las Vegas, like, I get it. I'm not going to tell a business how to make its own money.
Especially Vegas.
WWE should not have allowed themselves to be bettable because sometimes it ruins stuff like this.
Oh, man.
Like, why does Vegas get to tell me that The Rock is maybe sort of probably returning at the Royal Rumble? Like, why does Vegas get to leak that with these odds?
It's sort of like if you're a comic nerd, comic book movie, the toy lines sometimes screw up the early surprises in those movies. Like the toys will come out a month or two before the movie, and it's like, why is this in there? Is he in the movie? And they are. And yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of the same thing.
The other one is Cody Rhodes, who I like. He's the one who tore his pectoral off the bone and then wrestled a 30-minute match with a torn pec. If you ever YouTube it, you don't have to watch the whole thing, but just to get a glimpse of how gross and ouchy it looked, first of all, it was a Hell in a Cell match. Which is the same match that Mick Foley got thrown through a table and then lodged a tooth through his nose in. So they're violent matches by nature. And he specifically said, and again, we live in an era where we know more about the human body. Some people say not to champion this. If this is really what you are, as this is your character, I'm not going to tell you it's a bad thing and that you have to put yourself first. It was kind of badass, I'm not going to lie.
It is.
His exact reasoning for why he went through and wrestled this match before he then took his 8 months off to rehabilitate, his whole right chest was just purple.
That had to hurt.
And they don't shy away from it in the match either. I mean, they don't take it easy on him. They said, him and his opponent, I guess, agreed, well, the fans can all see this is happening. So if this were a real fight, you'd target it, right?
Ugh.
So he said, Seth... That was his opponent for the match, Seth Rollins. He said, you target my pec throughout this match. I want you to do moves to it. I want you to hit it with weapons like an actual bad guy would do. And he takes a kendo sword at one point, those little wooden bamboo swords.
Yeah.
And he just sticks it in Cody's pec while he's in the... And just starts twisting it and you're just going, ugh. Professional wrestling is fake. And professional wrestling
No.
should...
the outcomes are predetermined.
I'm just. I had a reason I was leading with that.
Okay, sorry.
It is, and because of that, and because we all know it, should wrestling feel dangerous? There are some fans that really that will say things like, "I miss the '90s when you used to be able to hit people in the head with chairs. People used to, you know, the ECW, they used to wrestle on barbed wire tables." And I think to myself, was that actually more entertaining to you than this fake fight that guy's like spine gets ripped out of his back from some barbed wire tape? That's better for you than the whatever. Sometimes, though, to contradict myself here, sometimes when wrestling feels dangerous, it does add something to the atmosphere where you're watching this and you're going, dude, that muscle is not attached to that bone anymore. And the reason he gave for why he did it before he took his time off, he's like, well, I was the main event. He basically gave the Michael Jordan answer. He said, people paid money to come watch this match, so I owe them to go wrestle this match. I said, dude, your pec is torn off the bone. You don't owe me anything, but thanks.
It's awesome that he did that, but I don't think they have much of a union. I think they basically just did whatever. I'm just saying.
No, but he didn't have to.
No, he didn't.
He could have gotten out of that. He literally said, well, people paid money to come see me wrestle.
Sounds like a cool dude.
Yeah. So his dad was Dusty Rhodes, if you're familiar with him.
Yeah, I do remember him.
The son of a plumber, as he used to be called. So I guess Cody Rhodes is the son of a plumber. So he's in it. He's the second favorite. If The Rock doesn't show, Cody Rhodes is then the Vegas.
I am betting on Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
He might be deceased. I'm not positive.
Ooh, he better not be. That would make me so sad.
Wrestlers don't live normal human lifespans. That's what you need to remember, especially 80s wrestlers. They tend to die in their 50s.
I don't think he's dead.
He might not be. Oh, he looks so pleasant in that photo. Maybe he is just old and happy.
It looks like he's still alive.
Oh, beautiful. He doesn't look like he's in return to do any wrestling.
He's got a website. HacksawDuggan.com.
That's brilliant.
So this is from a month ago. I forgot about this. Someone broke into his house. Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And he kicked his ass and pinned him to the ground until the police got there.
That's why I said smart. You know,
just looking at this, he is 6'3", and it does list him at 270. So
lest we forget, and I know wrestlers probably still sneak him in here and there, because like look at some of them, you know they are. Technically, WWE now has an anti-steroid rule that if you get busted twice, they fire you. But lest we forget that rule wasn't put into place until 2002. So if you wrestled in the 80s, Jim Duggan was probably on some roids.
I don't know. He never really had that roid look.
No, but I'm guessing it might have been like silently mandatory or something back in the day.
But,
would you mess with, even at 63 or whatever he is?
69.
Even at 69 years old, would you mess with an ex 6'3", steroid using pro wrestler?
He used to hit people with a 2x4 for a job.
How badly do you want that guy's TV?
I'm just saying, that's who I'm voting for. Hopefully they invite him back.
I don't know if
because that's a cool story.
I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but the big reason that The Rock is such a heavy favorite is that WWE has wanted to run this storyline for a long time. And finally, for the first time since Roman Reigns has been employed by WWE, The Rock happens to be free. He's not filming anything. Happens to be Roman Reigns' cousin, who is currently the world champion in WWE.
Okay.
WWE very much would like to run the cousin for the championship main event. Oh, by the way, one of the cousins happens to be the biggest movie star in the world. You get a lot of that sweet, sweet cash when you book The Rock on one of your anythings. You book The Rock for your birthday party, you could sell tickets to it. It doesn't matter. So that's coming up. I might. We've got that awkward gap for our podcast next week, Dal, where the Super Bowl isn't yet this coming week. Yeah. Maybe next week I'll give a nice lengthy review on what happened at the Royal Rumble.
Okay.
Just so we don't catch anyone off guard. Hey, it's the second best pay-per-view in all of professional
wrestling. Go Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
If you probably listen, not showing up.
If he listens to the show, we will totally have you on the show.
Dude,
I would love a signed 2x4 from Hacksaw Jim Duggan. How freaking cool would that be? That would go right up on my wall next to the bucking horse.
I am very much looking forward, though, to the actual Rumble matches this year. They do two now. I don't know if you're familiar with the Royal Rumble format. It's
everybody in there at the same time.
Sort of. They start with two people, and they do this because people like to see who will come out next, and that's how you get the surprise.
Oh, okay.
Two people. Every 90 seconds, a new person will come out. You're eliminated. You're thrown over the top rope. Both feet touch the floor. There's 30 entrants. So every 90 seconds, three comes out. 90 seconds, four. But until you get to 30, that's the plot. And the reason they do that is so that they can sneak. Like, if Hacksaw Jim Duggan was coming back, he doesn't just come out and he's standing in the ring. No, you want to build up to that, right? You want to put him out there at like 22.
Yeah, I want him walking out there going, hoo-ah, you want 2x4.
The Royal Rumble is so fun because it lets you do stuff like that. You get to, first of all, they do the 10-second countdown before each entrant, so the fans get to do the 5, 4.
You're half making me want to buy this.
You don't have to buy it. Do you have Peacock?
No.
I'll give you my Peacock. You can watch it, Dal. I don't mind.
All right.
don't squint at that sentence. It means what it means.
I stop.
It means nothing more.
I stop.
Anyhow, but yeah, the fans like to. There's two very famous ones. The Royal Rumble always produces a couple of older guys come in because they get the pop of their entrance music hits. They come in. They hit like their finishing move from 20 years ago and someone throws them right back out. They're in there for 30 seconds. But who cares? You cheer for the entrance music. You go, oh my God, it's Roddy Rowdy Piper. And he's got a beer gut. Oh yeah, I forgot he's 55 now.
Oh, he's older than that.
No, but when he did come back, I think it was like 2008.
In fact, I think he's dead now, right?
He is deceased, unfortunately.
Okay. Jim Duggan is not.
By the way, Roddy Rowdy Piper, Canadian. I feel so lied to.
So I'm going to give a hit here. Yeah, hacksawduggan.com. Made
America's tough guy.
Made in the U.S. Oh my gosh, he's got merch.
Do it. Do it. Oh. Do it.
I might have just found some stuff I gotta buy.
I won't play it here. I gotta show you a clip, by the way, of one of my favorite comedy spots from the Royal Rumble that ever happened. Okay. So that you can get
We can do that next week. We'll have time.
So yeah, Royal Rumble will be this week. It'll be fun. Now they do two. So now there's a men's and a women's. And basically the Royal Rumble, the plot is whoever wins the Royal Rumble, Dal, they get to face the world champion in the main event of WrestleMania. That's the rule. So that's why the Royal Rumble exists. Which, if it were a real sport, would be kind of problematic, wouldn't it? Because you got 30 guys in there and it's pretty random. Like, anyone could win. And then they're your main event of your WrestleMania. That's not very good forward thinking. Thankfully, it is scripted, though. So you get to pick your winner.
You can book Hacksaw Jim Duggan from this website.
That's fantastic. Get him on this show.
We should get him on our competition that we do. The singing competition.
Oh, yes. Okay. Do it.
So I'm a little disappointed because I went on here to shop, and it says shop, and I swear it said you could buy a 2x4.
Oh,
anyway,
that's a shame.
We're out of time. That's something that I'll look at later.
Okay. So that'll be fun. Royal Rumble this week. Men and women's. Only three matches that are regular matches on the pay-per-view. So that tells me that they're saving some big stuff for the actual Rumble matches because they've got to fill some time. Anyhow, we got our picks and we both picked the same teams this week. How boring of us.
Okay.
We're lame. Mackenzie picked my wife is more dedicated to my Bengals 49ers pick than I am.
That's okay.
How disappointing. How lacking in dedication am I that I'm wavering this late in?
See, you're thinking about it too much. She's probably just saying, you know what, we're doing this.
Anyhow, we'll see you guys next week. Hopefully I'll have a really excellent Royal Rumble recap. Maybe the show was great. Maybe I loved it. Maybe I won't. Maybe it will suck. Maybe Hornswoggle will win in main event WrestleMania. Until next time, you can catch us on Spotify, on YouTube, and on svinews.com/podcasts. See you all next time.